We're getting close to the end of our study on Galatians, and today we will be reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, verses 6 through 10. You can find printed in your bulletins, or you can use your Bibles that are in front of you. Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. This is the word of God. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your grace and mercy you speak to us as your children, as your people, through your word, and that you in your grace and mercy has opened the eyes of our hearts, giving us new life in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can understand spiritual things, those things that you have revealed in your word. We pray that as we come together as one church, one body, to this test, that you will open our hearts to see what you are teaching us in it. That you will help us, Lord, to grow in our understanding of our faith and our journeys here on earth as we live as Christians, that you will empower us, Lord, to consider what is written on it and be able to apply it in our own lives as we start our weeks. And you help us, Lord, to focus right now on your word, to remove from our minds those things that trouble us, that occupy our minds throughout the week, that we will be able to be nourished by your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we are finishing or getting very close to the end of this book, I was thinking about a verse from the book of Galatians that could, in a sense, summarize the main topic that Paul has been speaking to the Galatians and to us during this season of our lives, as we've been studying this text. One verse that came to my mind was chapter 3, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 11, that says like this: Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. This is that our justification or our right standing before God is not based on our own works, our own efforts, whatever good we can do, or whatever attempt we can have to keep the law of God, but our right standing before God depends on our faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, what he accomplished there to give us eternal life and to save us. Paul saw the need of revisiting this with the Galatians because, as we have been studying, the gospel was attacked by those who were trying to teach something different to what is described in those verses or in this verse, which is that in order to be saved, you needed to put your circumcision. You needed to keep the law. You needed to do good works in order to be saved and counted as one of the members of God's kingdom. But Paul is correcting this message by reminding them that our faith, the foundation of our faith, is in the gospel, which is what Christ did on the cross, and that we are saved through faith and not through works. This is why if you move forward in chapter 5, Paul will say in verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." He sees the need of reminding them that they have to stand firm in that freedom that has been granted to them through Christ. Despite those who were trying to convince them that they needed to do something and offer something to God for their salvation, he's reminding them, you have to stand firm. Now maybe Paul knew that some of the Galatians were misunderstanding his preaching on grace, and that some later in the future will misunderstand also Paul's preaching on grace. And therefore he saw the need of saying what he says in verse 13 of chapter 5. If you go with me in your Bibles. "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." So Paul here is describing both the tension, the risk that is present or was present in the Galatian church and continue to be present in our time. On the one hand, you can rely on your works for your salvation, but on the other hand, you can come to the idea that because Christ has done everything for you, you should not be concerned about living a life that pleases God. That you should maybe take your freedom as an opportunity for give freedom to your flesh. And he is warning the Galatians and warning us about that. And if you continue reading from there down, the following verses, a passage that we studied together, Paul described this tension, this war that happens within every Christian, which is the war within the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. And it's that tension in which we all live as Christians for the rest of our life. So you might say, or some people have said, I have heard this question asked to me, then what will be the motivation that I will have to do good while I'm here on earth until Christ comes, if I know already that Christ has already paid the ransom for my salvation? If I know that my salvation does not depend on my works, why would I be motivated to do good? And basically, what we see in these verses that we are studying today, is Paul is giving us a motivation for doing good. He is encouraging us to do good because of what Paul teaches in these verses. And he uses this metaphor in the previous metaphor when he was describing the tension between the spirit and the flesh. He was talking about a war within every Christian. But here he's using this farming metaphor about sowing and reaping, about planting and collecting the harvest. And there are at least three aspects of our life in which we can see in these verses Paul describing this metaphor. Three aspects in our life as Christians. And we're going to see them as we study these verses together. The first one is sowing and reaping in the teaching of God's word. Sowing and reaping in the teaching of God's word. So first of all, Paul states a very clear, understandable principle for all of us. You find that in verse 7. Half of the verse says, "For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." This is a principle of life. I mean, in farming, it's so clear that if you plant tomatoes, you will not get potatoes. even though they sound similar. But if you plant potatoes, you will not get tomatoes, right? And you can go through all the plants and different seeds, and it will be always the same. You might happen that you go and plant something and you end seeing something else coming up. But this might be that somebody was eating some watermelon and threw some seeds, and then you start to see watermelon. But it is not because it is possible that you plant something and something else will come up. But Paul applies this principle to our Christian living as well. And it's very clear that we see it in these verses. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now in verse 7 also he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Why will he say that? Why would Paul say that we could be deceived and God will be mocked in this context? I would say it's because most of the planting, most of the sowing that we do in life, we do it in private. A lot of things that we do, thoughts, words, and deeds that people are not seeing externally, but what they see is what we are reaping, what we are, the harvest that we are collecting, and we'll understand a little bit this more as we go through these verses. But keep that principle in mind. Whatever one sows, that will also reap. Now, the first aspect of life, I said that it was sowing and reaping in the teaching of God's word. Where do we find that here? We find that here in verse 6. Paul says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Basically, Paul is talking about those of us who are receiving the teaching of God's word are called, are encouraged, and exhorted to support those who are teaching and preaching the word of God. The one who is taught is each one of us who received the word of God, and we are called to share with them all good things with the one who teaches. It is interesting that this word that we have here translated as share comes from the word koinonia. It's koinoneo. So it is not a payment. It is not so much a payment that is given to the one who is teaching, but is communion with the one who is teaching. Is a participation with the one who is teaching. So Paul is talking about this, but what is the connection here between this and the principle of sowing and reaping? Well, the connection, it is that everyone who is teaching the word of God is teaching hoping to reap a harvest from that. And it is not for the minister or for the preacher of God's word, it should not be all these all good things that he will receive, the support that he will receive from the one who is being taught. But it is really seeing God producing fruits in the people of God. The desire and the heart of the preacher, the heart of the minister, is to see that those seeds that are planted in people's hearts are building up the body of Christ, are building up the members of the body of Christ. It is also the desire of the one who preaches and teaches God's word that those seeds that he is planting are bearing fruit in people coming to Christ in faith. So Paul is talking about sharing all good things, the one who is receiving the teaching, but he is also concerned that the one who is preaching God's word is also desiring this beautiful harvest, which is seeing the body of Christ growing in faith. Now, how is the one who teaches God's word reaping what he plants? The one who receives God's word, the one who hears God's word, share all good things with the one who teaches God's word in desire of seeing God's word producing fruits in the body of Christ. For example, in his own life, we all came to this room hoping that we will hear God's word and God's word will produce fruit in our life, that will change our hearts, that will grow our faith. But also we have the desire of seeing that producing fruit in others' life, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore we share all good things with those who teach in order to see this fruit happening. We see that also when this live stream happens, the Word of God goes out through the internet, we are hoping and we are supporting that work, hoping that God will produce fruits in other places, that other people will hear the Word of God and come to faith. Now, this is sowing and reaping in the teaching of God's Word. But also Paul goes directly to each one of us and speaks to us about sowing and reaping in our own holiness. You can see with us, with me, you can go with me to verse 8, when he says, "For the one who sows in his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." I told you that most of the sowing that we do as Christians is sometimes not visible for those around us. So how do we sow in our own flesh? How do you sow in your own flesh? You sow in your own flesh with the things that you think, the things that you say, and the things that you do. These are things that at the moment you are not seeing how they will produce something later on, but they will produce something. We saw that Paul talks about the works of the flesh in previous verses. So if our mind is set on those things that are the works of the flesh, the things that we read, the things that we look at, the things that we say, or the things that we do, the result of those things will be corruption. It will not produce good things. Sometimes Christians wonder in their own life why I am not growing and I'm still struggling with this and that temptation. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, where are we sowing? Because at the end, we have two fields. One field is the flesh and one field is the spirit. If you are sowing in the flesh, the result of that will be corruption. But when we sow in the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. So how do you sow in the Spirit? Again, what are the things that you are thinking? What are the things that you are talking about? And what are the things that you are doing? Are you thinking on heavenly things? And thinking on heavenly things is not just thinking about heaven and what is going to be your life after you die and go to heaven, but thinking about heavenly things is those things that are written in the Word of God. Is your meditation in the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you meditating throughout the week in the Word of God? Because when we do that, basically, we are sowing in the Spirit. What will be the result of our sowing in the Spirit is eternal life. It is what we will say to others. It is what the way we will interact with others will not be corruption, but it will be the result of our sowing in the Spirit. So here we have, again, brothers and sisters, these two fields in front of us. And we need to ask ourselves throughout the week, every day, am I sowing and I'm planting in my spiritual life in the Spirit, or am I planting in the flesh? Because the result of our fruits and our works will come from where we plant. Remember, whatever we sow, that we will also reap. Now we have also the sowing and reaping in our neighbors. The sowing and reaping in our neighbors. Go with me to verse 9. It says, "And let us not grow weary on doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Think about this. Why would Paul talk about growing weary? And why will he be talking about the possibility of giving up. It is because doing good is not easy. It is because doing good gets people, gets Christians tired. Especially when things are difficult, when you are helping somebody else, when you are helping a person, and it's very difficult, it's very challenging, the temptation is always to give up. But then he's warning you about not growing weary, not growing tired of doing good. Now, to whom are we called to do good? Paul says, so then, as we have the opportunity, this word opportunity here comes from the word kairos, and is, as we have the season in life, as we have this opportunity while we are alive, while you and I are alive, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, who are everyone? Well, everyone is everyone. Everyone is those who are inside the household of faith, those who are believers, and those who are outside the household of faith, those who are not yet Christians. Now, what is the greatest good that each one of us could desire for somebody who is not yet a Christian? Well, the greatest good that we desire to do to them is that they could hear the gospel from us, and that they could come to faith and the understanding of the gospel. But that's not limited to that. We do good to everyone when we offer hospitality, when we love and care for our neighbors. But Paul makes clear here that we need to start from the household of faith. So therefore we have to work together to see what are the needs of our brothers and sisters. Again, there will be always the temptation of grow weary, of getting tired, because the needs are unlimited. You will see that your brothers and sisters are going to struggle, and you will feel, I cannot do this. You will feel tempted to give up. But the call that we have is not to grow weary, but to keep on doing good, to keep on loving, to keep on caring, to keep on providing, and to keep on sharing the gospel with them. Now, this principle of let us not grow weary can be applicable to these three aspects of our life. In sharing and reaping, or sowing and reaping in the teaching of the Word of God, in sowing and reaping in our own holiness, and sowing and reaping in your own neighbors. How so? Well, there is always the temptation that we have of giving up or getting tired or growing weary in sharing all good things with those who are teaching the Word of God. But there is also the temptation that we have of giving up in growing weary in sowing in our spirit. Because sowing our spirit requires for us discipline, requires for us having a life of prayer, requires for us having a life focused in God's Word, and we have the temptation to give up, as we will be tempted to grow weary in seeing that we love and care for those that are our neighbors. I'd like to share with you a little story that shows how God does things, even though when we are not seeing it, and this is for me, was a great motivation when I read it this week. It concerns the conversation of a man named Luke Short at the ripe old age of 103. He was 103 years old. Short was sitting under a hedge when he happened to remember a sermon he once heard preached by a famous Puritan, John Flavel, in 1691. He recalled the sermon. He remembered that sermon that he heard at that time, and he asked God right then and there to forgive his sins through Jesus Christ. Basically, by himself, he remembered what he heard in that sermon, and he prayed to God. He repented of his sins, asked forgiveness, and became a Christian. Short lived 3 more years. And when he died, this inscription was put in his tombstone. Here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106. So he lived 3 more years after he became a Christian. But here is the remarkable part of the story. The sermon, short remembered, has been preached by Fable back in England 85 years before. Think for a moment. Nearly a century passed between the sermon and the conversion, between the sowing and the reaping. But a man reaps what he sows, and at the proper time, Fable reaps his harvest. 85 years after he heard that message, the Holy Spirit was at work in his heart, and he remembered those words that were planted in his heart. And what happened? He became a Christian. Sometimes we can grow weary of doing good. We can get tired of doing good because we don't see instant result. And in this society, we are accustomed to see instant result in everything that we do. We like to go and be able to click and find answers right away. We like to see what happened in people's life right away. In fact, a lot of things that are happening around the world in terms of the gospel, with the impact of this church is doing, we will never be able to see it. Because we will not know how many people are touched through the preaching of God's word here at 10th, or how many people are moved to come to Christ through the prayers, your prayers, for those who are not yet Christians in other parts of the world. Therefore, our call is not to grow weary of doing good, in loving our neighbors and desiring for them what is the most important thing, that they come to understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious and merciful with us, and that though we many times don't sow in good ground, that we sow in our flesh, and that we don't see the great opportunities that we have to love those around us, and we many times get tired. Lord, you continue to be merciful. We pray, Lord, that you will help us this week to continue to meditate on those verses, and help us, Lord, to trust in you for the fruit, that we will not look at the fruit as something that needs to happen quickly in our own eyes, but to trust that you, Lord, are perfect and has a perfect plan. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.